waiting for jobs numbers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. For those betting on a cut in interest rates this month, this is an important day. This morning we'll get the report on August employment. Typically, the monthly employment numbers move the market more than any other single piece of economic news. And this month, they may hold the key as to whether the Fed lowers rates September 18th. Yesterday, stocks gained on some very solid retail sales figures. The Dow climbed 57 to 13,363. The S&P was better by 6 points to 1,478. And the NASDAQ rose 8 to 2,614. Overnight in Asia, the stock markets ended the week lower, and in Europe at this hour, the tone in stocks is negative. There's a theory on Wall Street that when women's hemlines go up, so do stocks. Say what you will, but for believers, the hemlines at New York's Fashion Week don't bode well, Jill Barshay reports.
Fashion Week spectators like what they don't see on the catwalk. Skirts and dresses are covering those skinny models' thighs and even their knees. Some dresses flow down to the ankles. Marshall Cohen is an analyst at NPD Group. He predicts longer hemlines will boost women's wear sales by double the usual amount.
Now, all of a sudden, because new long skirts are in, people are going to look and say, hey, I don't have any of those and I haven't had for a while. It's time for me to go out and buy new.
Cohen says the new hemlines are less about couture and more about commerce. Fashion houses want to appeal to average women who haven't been crazy about the micro mini skirt trend.
This is a much more subdued, much more consumer-centric, and much more commercialized fashion week that we've seen in probably a decade.
Women will pay for it. Longer dresses require more fabric, and that means higher price tags. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
An American activist investor has launched a campaign against one of the world's biggest banks. Eric Knight is calling for big changes at the British-based HSBC. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Eric Knight, who's based in New York, has written to HSBC calling for a fundamental review of strategy. His precise demands have not been made public, but his call comes at a tricky time for the bank. HSBC, like all major banks, is currently embroiled in the liquidity crunch, and it's been burned directly by the U.S. subprime mortgage debacle. That triggered the bank's first ever profits warning. The bank's shares are underperforming those of its peers, and, says analyst Mark Derling, it certainly is a potential target for a breakup.
HSBC is basically a makeup of over 50 banks globally, each one itself a reasonably sized market cap bank. So it would be very exciting for shareholders if there was a breakup.
Eric Knight is thought to hold less than 1% of HSBC, but has a successful track record as an activist. He forced major changes at the Anglo-Dutch oil giant Shell. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The digital revolution has changed the way we listen to music and watch movies. The business has been shaken by these changes, particularly the music business. But will the same thing happen in film and television? Let's bring in Mike Spire. He's executive editor at Variety here in L.A. Mike, first, beyond the technical requirements, why has the music business been so much more successful than its video counterpart in downloading?
I think that the reason the music business is able to maintain a level of success is because you can select the tracks you want, and it's cheaper than buying the entire product. For many years when we were kids, you had to buy the entire album even if you wanted one or two songs. Now, you just have to buy one or two songs at 99 cents a pop and you're in.
Is Hollywood really betting big on the viability of video downloading?
Yes and no. They're certainly betting big because they're making deals with a lot of download services, and a lot of download services exist, and there are a lot of subscribers, and so they hope that that is the future. No, in the sense that this has been the record-setting summer box office, and any studio executive would argue that nothing beats going to the movies.
So what do we make of NBC Universal challenging Apple on the price that it thinks it can get for a download.
Well, what you're seeing now is kind of a clarification of the system, which is everyone thought for a long time Apple was the only player, and they got all the people involved, and they got all the deals. And now people are saying, wait a minute, we don't want to be held hostage. We think we can do a different thing.
Now, there were rumblings in the media this week about Sony making a move into video downloading. It's got an advantage. It has a studio. It knows what some of the issues are because it's involved in the business. Does that give them a significant leg up, do you think?
What gives them a leg up is they have a library of titles. What they don't have, of course, is the infrastructure to set up a download service. That takes time. And right now, there are at least six companies doing that, from Walmart to Amazon to MovieLink to CinemaNow, that already have a head start on them.
But for the moment, none of this is challenging the conventional way that we see film.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's confusing everybody. 5 years ago, everyone said, hey, we can watch movies on our laptop, or hey, we can download films. Isn't that cool? Well, yeah, you can now, and there's plenty of services out there. But the numbers just aren't there. People are confused about what studios have deals where. Some are subscriptions, some are by movies, some are by rental. You know what? It's just easier to go rent a DVD. The movie business needs one company to come along and revolutionize this and to change it and to make something worthwhile.
Mike Speier is executive editor of Variety here in L.A. Mike, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
A pleasure to be here.
We've got the iMac, the iPod, iTunes, and now iSorry. Yesterday, Apple offered early buyers of the iPhone an apology. The gadget's been on the market for 2 months with a $599 price tag. Then Wednesday, Apple cut the price by $200. iPhoners felt as though they'd been slapped in the face, and buyer unrest was emailed fast and furiously. So Apple chief Steve Jobs offered a $100 store credit to users who paid the original price. You can read the letter he sent. It's at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Enjoy the weekend.
I'm sorry, so sorry.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.